This is Ahval Online, meeting point of accurate news and free comment on the current affairs of Turkey. Welcome to our podcast series.
Hello, and welcome to Talking Turkey. I'm your host, Ahval editor David Lepeska, and with me today is Dolkun İsa, president of the World Uyghur Congress, an international organization that fights for the rights of the Uyghur people, who are originally from China's Xinjiang province, also known as East Turkestan. Hello, Dolkun, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. We are speaking on Wednesday, August 5, a day after the BBC published video and text messages a Uyghur model named Merdan Kahbar sent from inside a detention center in Xinjiang province where the Chinese government is forcing as many as 2 million Uyghurs and other Turkic minorities to relinquish their culture and their religion. It is the largest mass internment of an ethnic group since World War II. And detainees in these camps have reported everything from being forced to eat pork to rape and torture. Kahbar's dispatches, his messages, offer a rare look inside these camps. In the video, he is handcuffed to a couch. The walls are dirty and he looks pale. On the loudspeaker outside, we hear Xinjiang has never been an East Turkestan, and separatist forces at home and abroad have called on those who speak Turkic languages and believe in Islam to unite. One document that Kahbar sent urges Uyghur children to repent and surrender. Beijing, which has long argued that the detention camps are for counterterrorism purposes, kind of re-education centers, has also said in recent months that the camps have been shut down. This is why Adrian Zenz, a leading Xinjiang scholar, saw Kahbar's video and text messages as extremely significant. This testimony shows that the whole system of detaining people, sorting them, and feeding them into extrajudicial internment is very much ongoing, he told the BBC. Dolkun, it's clear that China is still running these camps. Please, if you would, tell our listeners what you have heard about these camps, and specifically what life is like for the detainees inside.
Well, as you said, the Chinese government, time to time, and change the narrative. At the beginning, Chinese government denied exists such a camp or at all. But after growing up international pressure, then Chinese government changed the narrative, saying it is vocational training centers. Then, and the international organizations, some experts, and the World Uyghur Congress, we are also and a report issues the report and provided fact and the. And besides this, also New York Times in the Chinese Kabul, Andrea Zenz and the ASPI report, all in the report, and it show very clear evidence China no way to hide them anymore, this camp. Then, and also so many Uyghur intellectual, professor, professional football players, singers, elderly people, teenager in the camp. We and provide all documentation. We published a report that's very well documented. Mm-hmm. So Chinese government and Chinese nation, we're fighting terrorism and radicalism. Well, it is no way. It is no way and no legitimate located more than 3 million people to the 21st century concentration camp. And they are saying we are fighting terrorism and radicalism. Just the Chinese government mean propose an eradicated Uyghur identity. Chinese government trying to erode Uyghur as a people. This is the main purpose of the Chinese government. So what is going on in the camp? So we got, to be honest, we got very limited information because Chinese government not only kept down information between inside camp to the outside, even Chinese government, since 2017, middle of 2017, all the communication between outside the camp and the exile and outside East Turkestan, all the communication was blocked. So that's why we got very, very limited information. But however, we know is the camp Chinese government trying to indoctrinate. mm-hmm. for the people and ask them, the people who stay in the camp, renounce religious identity, renounce in the national identity. Who not cooperate on the physical torture? There is so many death cases happening. There is already some camp survivor now is managed to escape to foreign country because they are a foreign country citizen. They are Uyghur Kazakh, but is a citizen of foreign country. Mm-hmm. That's why they are released. Some is staying 8 months, some staying 1.5 years in the camp. They are and they reported and they have interviews international media. They are saying so many physical torture and so many death cases was happening. And they are show the royalty Chinese to the Chinese Communist Party and the Xi Jinping. Yeah. So Chinese government and they really forcibly to and indoctrinate and brainwashing. Now is the recent Chinese government is persecuting Uyghur through the ruthless campaign of the brainwashing, torture, and the dehumanization.
So you said that those who disobey face torture in these camps. I wonder, what do you think might happen to this Uyghur I mentioned, this Merdan Gapar, who sent these messages to the BBC? I would guess that Chinese authorities will not be happy about what he did. Is his life now at risk, do you think?
Well, it is the big risk. It is a life risk, I know. And we are definitely, so I use this program I call internationally, should be save his life, because Chinese government trying to hide and everything. And the Chinese government saying it is this vocational training center and time to time issues the propaganda video and they organize a propaganda tour and they creating some better conditions, some classes, something that like people dancing, so happy. But this Merdan is this video and they show very clear what kind of treatment, you know, this is because they are not really a concentration camp. It is the just a quarantine room. It is a quarantine room. You know, separate room. Normally is a concentration camp. Not one only staying in one room. All 20, 30 people staying together, sharing one small room. He is a quarantine because of this COVID-19. That's why he is alone, but we can see how the treat to him. So it is really provide very, very typical evidence to the world. So that's why I believe Chinese government really threatened his life.
Let me take a step back and give a little bit of historical background on this for our listeners. China's Communist Party has never been a friend of religion, which it sees as kind of another potential source of authority, a threat to its power. This is why the Uyghurs, along with Kyrgyz, Kazakhs, and other Turkic minorities, have faced considerable discrimination and harassment for decades. In 2009, Uyghur frustrations led to mass protests in Xinjiang province. And 5 years later, in 2014, Beijing pushed back hard, destroying mosques and devastating some Uyghur neighborhoods in the capital, Urumqi, and in other cities, and then ultimately forcing, as we have mentioned, more than 1 million Uyghurs into these camps. But meanwhile, for those who are outside of the camps, they are the most closely watched people on earth. Xinjiang is the world's most advanced police state, like something out of George Orwell's novel 1984. Beijing has even moved thousands of Han Chinese, who are known as big brothers and sisters, into cities in Xinjiang to monitor Uyghurs and their assimilation. Hundreds of thousands of surveillance cameras on street corners and above businesses and residences monitor all the comings and goings. And many locals have been forced to download nanny apps on their smartphones that scan their chat logs for Quranic verses, for Arabic script, or anything suspiciously Islamic. As you mentioned, encrypted chat software like WhatsApp and Telegram are totally banned. Police detain almost anyone who violates any of 75 supposed indicators of extremism. And these include like storing large amounts of food at your home, applying for a passport, or quitting drinking or smoking. China's response to all this is that it is counterterrorism. One official recently said, should we wait for them to commit a crime or prevent that crime from happening? Dokun, I'm sure you've spoken to people living in Xinjiang in recent months. Please, if you could tell us what life is like for people there, for children and families living under this surveillance.
Well, this atrocity is, as you say, is not new. Not start just 2017. You know, this problem was starting since the occupation of Uzbekistan 1949. Mm. Chinese Communist Party is a really anti-religious organization. Chinese government repression policies towards the Uyghur, Tibet, Southern Mongolia has a long history. Today is all religious, not only Uyghur Muslim persecuted. Today is the Tibetan Buddhists and the Mongolian people and the Chinese Christian, Tibetan Buddhists, all persecuted by the Chinese CCP, by the Chinese government. You know, and today, and the daily life of the people and the threatened. We have also witnessed mass collected personal data from CC scanners and facial recognition software, public database, police checkpoint, and from DNA and blood samples. So why is the people talking about just 1 or 3 million people in the concentration camp? But the people who is not staying in the concentration camp or side camps, their life also not very good. Mm-hmm. Maybe their life is also more is dangerous than in the camp, because the people who stay in the camp, just they are only one hope. They are want to go out from the camp. But the people who stay outside the camp, they are living in every minute, every hours, every day, the visit fears. You know, what mm-hmm. will be happening the same, maybe next hours, next days. They are the every day and the staying and the scare. Because everything that's happening, because Chinese government, Chinese police can arrest you, put the camp without any explanation, don't show you, don't tell you any reason. It is the problem. So that's why today is how you can dress. Even today is then the grow up bread, so man is forbidden. Headscarf is forbidden. Even is a woman in the long dress is forbidden. Mm. You know, police just on the street, if you go went to the street, just stop to you, not only check your ID card, check your mobile phone, you know, and check your mobile phone. If you look at the mobile phone, it can find any word related to religious or something like that, it's a big problem. You know, mm-hmm. immediately put the camp, for example, Salam alaikum meaning isn't like the hello, how are you, or in Germany is Grüß Gott. Very, very, very similar in universal world. It is more related, is you're really believer or not, just this historical heritage of the Uyghur people. But today, mm-hmm. you cannot even Salam alaikum as well. Today is Uyghurs.
So now you have to say Ni hao.
Ni hao. No, just Ni hao or Yakshmesis. That's so. No, if find the police any single word related is a religious, then it's a big problem. So today, and also the Chinese government installed, as I said, some and the voice recognized camera and the face recognized camera. I mean, now China trying testing this old camera in Uzbekistan for the Uyghurs. Then export this camera to other province of China. Now it's export more than 20 countries. So Chinese government not only monitoring the Uyghurs with the digital technology, now is Chinese government CCP emphasize it is dictator regime to the other country as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, because of all that, disapproval of Beijing's policies in Xinjiang has been growing quickly in recent weeks, ever since a late June Associated Press report found the Chinese government has been forcing sterilization and abortion on Uyghur women as part of a campaign that has slashed birth rates in parts of Xinjiang, in Hotan and Kashgar, by something like 60%. And experts have described this as demographic genocide. Around the same time, an Australian investigation revealed that China has shipped tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands, of the detained Uyghurs to factories where they have been making products for dozens of top companies like Nike and Volkswagen and leading fashion brands. These companies are now facing pressure to ensure that no forced Uyghur laborers are involved in the production of their goods. The U.S. Congress last week introduced the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. A number of leading news outlets, including The Guardian and Foreign Policy, have called on Western governments to officially label what is happening in Xinjiang a genocide. France's foreign minister said a couple weeks ago that the situation for Uyghurs in Xinjiang is unacceptable, and members of the European Parliament have called on the EU to issue sanctions against Beijing for its Xinjiang policies. Finally, just last week, John Oliver dedicated an entire episode of his HBO show to the Uyghur issue, calling for the UN and Western governments to do more. And it's already been seen by more than 6 million people just on YouTube alone. Dokun, as the head of the World Uyghur Congress, I wonder what all this international attention and pressure on Beijing means for the Uyghur cause. Do you feel like the world is finally paying attention to the Uyghurs and that the situation might soon change?
Well, no, and this, we have seen some positive move from the internationally, because this atrocities starting particularly this camp issue starting 2016, 2015. Mm-hmm. But recently, really some international media attention, some country, particularly United States and some European country, and know and how dangerous and the situation coming, how dangerous level now, and the more international attention now, and the UN Human Rights Council, some country raises issue, as the Chinese government closes concentration camp, stop forced labor issue, but still so many country and support China's policy. Still so many countries still silence, even some is supporting China's policy. And you know, particularly some Muslim country, unfortunately, supports mm-hmm. China and mm-hmm. silent. Today, China, as already told you, today Chinese government start war against Islam, because Chinese government, Xi Jinping, CCP, very clearly mentioned Islam, and all religions, particularly Islam, is ideological illness. It must be eradicated. Today, Chinese government and collected Quran, burning Quran, destroyed more than 5,000 mosques since 2018, you know, and even forbidden to the Islamic name for the children. That says no Chinese government really start war against Islam and in attack, targeting Islamic value completely. But no single Islamic country stand up, no Islamic country broken silent to speak against the Chinese atrocity against Islam. So it is a big shame. But however, some European countries, some democratic country, and some international organization, media attention. No, it is, that's why Chinese government changed narrative. At the beginning, I have already mentioned that China is denied everything. Because of this international pressure, China now partly accept, but continue trying to hide the reality and the game and fighting the truth today. So, it is only way, international pressure is the only way to stop this atrocity. But no, we haven't seen really a big in the concrete action. We haven't seen yet. So yes, United States passed the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act. President Trump signed it, and U.S. Government already start some sanction against the Chinese government.
Well, and the right. Let me leads into my next question, if I could. Yeah, last week, the Trump administration levied sanctions against China's Xinjiang Production and Construction Corps, or XPCC, which is also known as the Bingtuan. Yes. It's a 3 million strong paramilitary force that is supposedly meant to encourage development in Xinjiang, but it also oversees the detention camps. Two former Bingtuan leaders were also sanctioned by the U.S., and this happened just a week after the U.S. Commerce Department added 11 more Chinese companies to an economic blacklist of firms involved in human rights violations in Xinjiang. And so now there are 48 Chinese companies that can no longer do business with U.S. companies because of their violations in Xinjiang. The Bingtuan, which was created by Mao Zedong in 1954 to colonize Xinjiang, is less a military entity today. It's more of a state within a state that runs cities, factories, farms, healthcare, and media outlets, and it controls something like 20% of the gross domestic product of Xinjiang. So I wonder, Dolkun, do you think that these U.S. sanctions and these Commerce Department sanctions on Chinese companies, will they make a serious impact?
Yeah, sure. I believe that this is the, should be bring some serious impact to China. Of course, at the beginning, China cannot accept immediately. Not only U.S. sanction is not good enough. So that's why United States should be set up a coalition with some other European countries, some other democratic country. Then they are working together and jointly for the Chinese government. Then it will be more effective. But unfortunately, some country, particularly European country like Germany, is a little bit silent still. And no, but we have seen is French, UK recently, and they really change position, gives a very supportive U.S. Policy against the Chinese government's section. This is a good step, of course, but still, European country, particularly Germany, should be wake up, should be cooperate with United States. Then only way, this is the only way, this coalition only way to stop this atrocity.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned all the Muslim countries that have remained silent. In Turkey, nationalist Turks have for decades seen Uyghurs as their Turkic Muslim brethren. Turks and Uyghurs speak a similar language. They practice pretty much the same religion. They have many similar traditions. And in 2009, Turkish President Erdogan, who was then prime minister, he became one of the first leaders in the world to label China's treatment of Uyghurs a genocide. Since Beijing launched its crackdown on Xinjiang in 2014, Turkey has become a place of refuge and welcomed as many as 50,000 Uyghurs. Many of them settled in Istanbul's central Zeytinburnu district, where Uyghur books are published, traditional Uyghur clothes are sold, and restaurants serve spicy Uyghur noodle dishes. But a report by the Telegraph newspaper last month found that Beijing is applying considerable pressure on Turkey to extradite them, and that Turkey's growing economic dependence on Beijing, particularly in regards to the Belt and Road Initiative, is eroding Turkey's ability to protect Uyghurs. Instead of sending Uyghurs directly to China, the Turkish government, this report found, is quietly deporting Uyghurs to third countries from where they are then sent to China. The report mentions Zinet Gül Tursun and her two infant daughters, who were deported last year from Turkey to Tajikistan, where they have no links or history or any connection, and from there they were sent to China. Uyghur advocate Ismail Cengiz told The Telegraph, "There is so much money at stake. Our cause is only second to that." Dokun, I wonder if you've heard anything about this practice on the part of Turkey, and what you think of Turkey publicly being supportive of the Uyghur cause, but secretly allowing them to be sent back to China to be imprisoned or tortured, even killed.
Well, as you mentioned, and then the President Erdogan, when was the massacre, 5th July massacre 2009, that time Erdogan is the first leader, just mentioned, on this is the Nineveh massacre. This time is his statement give a big hope to the Uyghur people. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, then later time, he changed the position. Last year, 2019, Prime Minister Çavuşoğlu, in the during the Human Rights Council section in Geneva, he made a statement also give big hope to the Uyghur and asked Chinese government to stop this atrocity, Uyghurs atrocity, and also stop the concentration camp. This is a big, big international media attention, also big, brought as a big hope. But later times, the position of the Turkish government changed. And as you say, the Turkish government is a country hosted 15 to 20,000 Uyghur refugees. This is the only country is being hosted such a large Uyghur refugees. So I know, we know where we all Turkish people, because we are sharing the same country, same history, same language group. So, and Turkish people, and really sympathize, they know what's going on in this circumstance. They are trying to help us, showing us solidarity, help, and yeah, trying to support us. But the government have, because of the business, because of the economic defense, so still the silence, you know, still the silence. This is the big issue for us. No, and we heard also, as you mentioned, Turkey is not directly deported the Uyghur to China, but as they, like the Netfield, some other Uyghurs, and sent through the street country, sent back to the China. So we know that we know that this is the big shame, of course. But we believe, and the Turkish government should be breaking the silence, and should be openly support us, because Turkish people, ordinary people, Turkish public and civil society has a big support to the Uyghurs. Yeah, and some know an opposition party also raised this the Uyghur issue to the Turkish parliament recently quite a lot. We believe maybe because of the public support, because of the civil society support, because of the opposition support, I hope this silence of the Turkish government and this position must be changed soon.
Well, the Telegraph report said that scores of Uyghurs have spent months in detention and deportation centers across Turkey with no charge at all because of China's demands. Turkish deportation lawyer Ibrahim Ergin said that no Uyghurs are extradited directly to China, but that China seeks to make their life in Turkey as miserable as possible by drowning the Turkish government in extradition demands. He said, this lawyer said, that he had a list of 200 Uyghur academics in Turkey and that China had extradition demands for all of them. As you say, more than any other country, Turkey has become the place of refuge for Uyghurs fleeing the persecution in Xinjiang. But now that appears to be ending as Ankara increases its economic ties with Beijing. I wonder, Tolkun, what, if anything, can activists and politicians in Turkey and the international community do to help pressure Turkey and ensure that the thousands of Uyghurs in Turkey are safe?
Well, I know, and Chinese government time to time send a list to Turkish government. Not only Chinese government just gives us such a list, just to Turkish government, some other country as well. And Chinese government gives the list to the German government as well. Even gives my name on the World Uyghur Congress time to time. Demand World Uyghur Congress is separate organization. World Uyghur Congress terrorist organization. The terrorists should be handed over to China. But the Chinese government doing the same thing as Turkey, United States, some other country, some other European countries. We know that China has a long history, because China's long arm getting longer. Use his economic influence and they're trying to crack down, trying to push to silence Uyghur activism as well. But Chinese government never provide any evidence, you know. Chinese government blame me as a terrorist. My name is the number 3 of terrorist Chinese list since 2003. Chinese government put my name to the Interpol list as well, you know. I was suffering 25 years, but I have never stopped. I'm fighting my right. Finally, 2018, my red notes were delayed, finally. So it is just a typical Chinese CCP's harassment and the diplomacy to all the country. So China is, you know, and as you say, they give maybe 200, maybe more than 200 Uyghur students, intellectuals' name. Sometimes I heard more than 1,000 people's name, long list given to the Turkish government, asked to the government sent back to China. But so far, I believe that Turkey is a country's rule of law. There is also some democratic and the civil society still have some voice, and there is some opposition. So Turkey not like some Central Asia countries, some other Muslim countries, some other dictatorial regime.
Well, like, it's getting more and more like them. You know, there's less and less rule of law.
Yeah. So of course we know that. But however, it is not easy. And so far, if as we've seen, Turkish government, we have not witnessed and deported Uyghur directly to China. For example, another example is Abdülkadir Yapchan, who is the one of the well-known Uyghur community leader in Turkey. He detained more than 2 years in Turkey, and Chinese government, very high-level official Chinese government, visited Ankara, asked him to deport to China. However, we have seen, and he was not deported to China. So we believe because Uyghur cause have a big potential public support for the Turkey. So that's why I believe Uyghurs who live in Turkey should not be a very dangerous situation.
So you feel like Turkey is still mostly supporting Uyghurs, and they are mostly safe in Turkey?
Yes, I can say, and so far is it that the Uyghur refugees can stay in, safely in Turkey, because there is quite a lot of Uyghur refugees staying in there. Some has no Chinese passport, some passport is already expired. Even some children born in Turkey, they are being stateless, but at least Turkey give some space to them to stay here.
Last question for you. I've seen many reports among exiled Uyghurs that China continues to monitor them in numerous ways, including via spies placed among the Uyghur communities. I've seen reports of this across Europe, Central Asia, Southeast Asia. İhsan Aniwar, a Uyghur activist in Turkey, told The Telegraph that there were people working for China inside his community, and that they had stopped awareness-raising campaigns and forced Uyghurs to stop flying their flag at public events. I would guess that they also report any suspicious activity back to Beijing. Dokun, I wonder if you could tell us a bit about how Chinese authorities spy on and monitor and try to influence exiled Uyghurs, and how serious of a threat this is, even for the Uyghurs who are thousands of miles from China.
Well, Chinese government is trying to monitoring and just Uyghur organization, Uyghur community in exile has a long history. Just I can give you some example. Chinese government used the Uyghurs among them, Uyghur community, trying to push them to work as spy for the Chinese government, because Chinese government used the hostage diplomacy and hostage family members, and they make pressure to the Uyghurs. 2009.
So just to clarify, so they use the family members of exiled Uyghurs that are still in Xinjiang to kind of influence the exiles, right?
Yes. Okay. Because most of some Uyghurs who live in exile have their family members, and in Turkestan, you know. Mm-hmm. Then Chinese government used the family member as a hostage and make pressure. Chinese security service. It is not new case. Chinese Secret Service was 10 years, 15 years ago. We have quite a lot of evidence on this. Called Uyghur community in Germany, some other European country, calls them first, ask them don't join any political activism, because time to time we organize demonstration in front of Chinese consulate or some other place. Ask them don't attend any political activism. If they are attending political activism, you have to think on your family member. That makes them drip pressure threat. And if we organize a demonstration in front of the Chinese consulate, Chinese embassy, Chinese official very openly video recorded. And just behalf of organization, just a couple of days later, and the Chinese police came to their home, and make pressure to them. Then family member, parents call them, why you attending this? Please let us stay in safely. This is the one way. Other way, Chinese government sent to some spy to the among the Uyghur community, collected information, and sent to the Chinese government. 2009, four Uyghurs spy suspected arrested by German criminal police, searching their home. Then later time, among them three, and charged by the court. Then sentenced 11 months and 1,500 and the fine for this spy work for the China. On the same case was happening in Sweden, you know? So China, and the time to time, used his economic power, used the diplomatic power, used the hostage, family hostage strategy, used all power to make pressure to the Uyghur community in exile and monitoring them. And even sometimes, of course, before 2016, some Uyghur who has a German citizen, some other European citizen, they are and visiting, family visiting to Turkestan. Then just as they landed to the Urumqi, then the police just took them to the, some hotel, so-called the hotel, and asked them to cooperate with the Chinese government security service. If they are not cooperating with Chinese security service, then deported them or even threatened to them. You know, you can stay in the jail, you know, it doesn't care. We are doesn't care you are which country is the citizen. Then some is the, and the, because they are, and there is some of them after the family visit and return, they are reported to us. Some never reported to us. Some say, okay, we will cooperate with you, then come back and report to us, then they never visit to Turkestan. If you visit a second time, then is the Chinese government, of course, definitely, that if they keeping the promise, then Chinese government make some pressure to them. Yeah, China use different of way and monitoring the Uyghur community in the exile.
It sounds like even if I'm a Uyghur in Turkey, in Germany, in Sweden, I still have to assume the Chinese government is seeing what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Dokun Issa, president of the World Uyghur Congress, thank you so much for your time and insight. It's been a real pleasure, and best of luck to you and your cause.
Thank you very much, David.
You can follow Ahval News Online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here, for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.